in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to do a radio. I'm going to do like I had to do in radio. Make it short. But I'm going to hit it hard. Okay? Luke chapter 15. Last time we were together, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word. We're receiving Jesus' name. And Satan, we remind you, you're going to the lake of fire. So just, we resist you and you must flee. The blessings of God are coming upon this word, upon the lives of people. In Jesus' name, we call it done. Everybody said amen. All right. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 15. Last time we were together, we were at Joshua chapter 7. And I was showing you concerning Achan, that was his name, and a little place called Ai. And I said it was smaller than even Tukwila. And the children of Israel were going into victory because they had crossed the Jordan River. And by the way, the Jordan River, I'll bring a picture of it. It is not that big at all. You could probably tiptoe through it and be past it. It just is not a real big river. They talk about, we crossed the Jordan River. It's not that big to cross anyhow, but there was something significant about them making that change. And then they began to take over the lands that God had given to them, the promised lands. And part of it was Jericho. And then God had sent them in, if you'll remember. We looked at, Joshua chapter number 7. They were coming to Jericho, and God told them what to do. Don't touch their things. Don't take their vases, their gold, their silver. Don't take any of that stuff, because I'm going to take care of you. You have to trust me and not take that stuff, because I have made it accursed. And so say obedience. There was one that was not obedient. And, of course, Achan was the name of that man we looked at last time. And we found out that Achan caused the whole army of Israel to be defeated. He is the one that he actually became defeated simply because of his disobedience to the Lord. And, of course, in the midst of that disobedience to the Lord and becoming one that was defeated, he also caused the entire army to be defeated. And think about it, 36 military men died because Achan took of that accursed thing, which was a vase, or you could say a vase. He took a vase, a ceramic or clay vase, and put it under his bed. I told you to read this story on your own through the chapter 7 of Joshua. And when he did that, Joshua went to God because they had lost 36 men. And he went to God with sackcloth and ashes and dirt on his head as they did and ripped his clothes and all this other stuff and said, Lord, what is going on? Because see, just like with Joshua and Israel, you are not supposed to lose. God did not create you to lose. You are a winner even when you don't feel like it. You are winning now. When you're sick, you're still a winner. When you're angry, you're still a winner. When you're rejected, you're still a winner. When you feel offended, you're still a winner. You are a winner. You were not created to be a loser. God knew what you would go through, and you may feel like you're a failure. I mean, today I'm going to talk about it's not my daddy's fault. I'm going to get deep on you. It's not your daddy's fault, okay? And I told you about meeting Willie Stewart and skipping school, getting drunk, going to look at the animals at Point Defiance Park after stealing wine from the local stores with my buddies and getting caught because one of the teachers was having an assembly over at Point Defiance also, and they were looking at the animals, and they looked at us, and we looked like animals. So they told my principal, and he kicked me out. Went home, I had to deal with my daddy. My daddy was a military man, very nice guy, very cordial, very professional, very smart, and he ain't playing no games. But anyhow, I had to go talk to him. I could have said, it's all your fault, Dad. You did this to me. Now, I want this teaching that I'm doing is related to Achan and Ai and Joshua and Jericho. Because some things that are happening get blamed on somebody that had nothing to do with it. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. 36 men lost their lives for something they didn't do. They didn't do anything wrong to cause the enemies to be able to whip their rear ends and kill 36 men from Israel. They said, I mean, the captains of Israel said, hey, listen, a little place. It ain't even as big as Tillicum. Let's forget it. Let's just send 3,000 men, wipe them out, keep moving. Well, they went there to try to wipe them out, but because of the curse, because of the curse, because of the curse, because they touched the accursed thing, because they went where they should not have gone, because they didn't obey ultimately what God had said, 36 died. And Joshua went to the Lord and said, what's going on? We ain't supposed to lose. And he's whining and crying and complaining like we all do. And the Lord said, Israel has sinned. Not Achan, because Achan represented Israel. You represent your family. You represent this church. You represent the kingdom of God. If you work for a company and you get in trouble, they may even put that in the newspaper too. They may have that on the evening news that you work for, because you carry the influence on the people that are involved with that agency, that company, that school, that attorney's office, that doctor's office, that hospital. You carry a lot more weight than we really want to be able to think we do, because we don't want the responsibility of having to live right sometimes. We just want to be able to go around and say, I didn't mean it. Don't come blaming me. I blame my daddy. I blame my boss. I blame the government. I blame. I am here to be an advocate today for the mamas and the daddies in the room. Let's go here to now Luke, dealing with another family. Luke chapter 15, and let's look at the verse here that we're going to deal with. Start at verse 17. You can read the first part of this by yourself at home. Another assignment. There's Pastor Shorter doing it again. This young man was the youngest of the family boys. There were just two of them. And the man that they lived with, their father, was well off. And this well off father had much waiting for them. But they came, both of them, to their father, and the younger one came and said, give to me my inheritance to me now. I want it now. Sort of sounds like our society. Everybody wants everything now. You know, people really get tired of even waiting for the microwave now. Man, 30 seconds? What you talking about, 30 seconds? I got to put that thing in for 30 seconds. Shoot, man, I got to go. We can't even wait for the microwave. I mean, we, how many get on a plane? I mean, I'm flying maybe Kathy and I to Portland, or we've been to Sacramento, different places, just her and I. And she'll look at me after a while, because you're just sitting there thing. Because, you know, it's really weird traveling anyhow. Because all you do is you sit there. You just think about it. You get in the car and you're, oh, gosh. And you're supposed to enjoy it, looking at all the scenery. But you're sitting there and you're, come on, I got to go. I got to get out of here. And so she'll ask me, how much longer, Don? I'll look at the little computer. Kathy, we got about 25 more minutes. 25 more minutes? Can't you speed this thing up? Not this one. But see, we have to realize that there's a timing, because sometimes we're not ready yet. I'm telling you, God has some Googah blessings for you. Say, Googah blessings. There's a whole bunch of blessings waiting for you. A Googah of them. And you need to get ready for them, but you need to get ready for them, because guess what you need to do? Get ready for them.
Because some of us ain't ready for them yet. So we got to be. I remember I wanted stuff quick, fast, and in a hurry. I want it now. But I had to wait for the Lord. I mean, you know, I'm still waiting on some things, manifestation of some things. The Bible says, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's Dr. Price coming at me right there, Apostle Price. I listened to that tape probably 25,000 times after we lost this property on Pacific Avenue and needed to build this property. I was so angry. I was, Lord, where's the building? We need a good building. We're sitting there at Franklin Pierce High School. And I'm saying, come on, where's the building? You know, how'd you let these people do all this stuff? How we, you know what? Faith and patience, you inherit the promises. And there's so many promises God has for you. And you know, sometimes we do things because we don't even feel like we're qualified. We'll sabotage things because we don't feel like, and I feel like, you know, this ain't working. Just call it quits. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of waiting, God. And it's like faith and patience. Same thing with the healing. 6.5 years. 6.5 years. Do you know, Dr. Godot said, Pastor Shorter, the devil got to pay. Because he stole 6.5 years of your life. He said, you got to make him pay. I said, well, help me to make him pay. Pay up. Okay. But he should pay. Because, see, he wants to delay you. But, see, this young man, he didn't want to wait. He wanted to get his goods when he could get his goods. Nothing wrong with that. That's human nature. But we got to have to learn how to deal with it. It says in verse 17, though, it says, but when he came to himself, because he got all of his stuff and he took off and he spent it on riotous living. Sometimes we just waste our lives. There's stuff that happened when I was in radio and television. I'm like, God, what a waste of my life. What a waste of my life. I'm playing this old stupid music and, you know, running around with all these fools. I mean, what a waste of my life. And, you know, but it all came together because I'm using what I learned there in ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. Because we all do stupid stuff. But this man took his money out. This young man took his money out. Young, inexperienced. Sometimes we're not ready for all God has for us. So we need to use some faith and patience until we can hear that promise. There are promises that God has for you. I'm looking at this congregation. I'm telling you, you all don't even know. You don't need to wear socks no more because it's going to get blown off, okay? Just come up in here with your, no stocking feet, no more. God is going to blow your socks off. You sitting here thinking you're dealing with something. You ain't dealing with nothing. You're dealing with a testimony that's about to be done with the test. That's why every opportunity I get, I kick the enemy's rear end with what he did to me. Don't you know you're so stupid? I ain't scared of him. If he could have killed me, he'd have done it. And he can't get you either. I said he can't get you either. Your time is here by the Lord's doing. But when he came to himself, because he was in the pig pen, he was in the pig slop. Now, I'm talking about fathers. It's not your father's fault. It's not my father's fault. Say that with me. Say, it's not my father's fault. Say it again. Say, it's not my father's fault. Now, I'm not even preaching to the ones that's trying to blame the father. I'm trying to talk to some fathers because they've got the problem. It's the fathers and the mothers that got the problem with guilt. I didn't do enough. I should have gave him more. I should have bought that. I should have took him there. I should have. They still would have won, y'all. Got some Ripple and went to Point Defiance. Got drunk with them fools. And got kicked out of school. Ain't nothing you could have done about it. My dad, that's one thing he said. He sat there. He took me to the jail, set me in the jail. The juvenile jail with the door still open. He didn't close the door, thank God. And he didn't sit there and say, it's all my fault, Don. I wish I wouldn't have been the way that I was. He knew it wasn't his fault. He looked at me like, fool, what's wrong with you? This is where you're going to end up at. I'll be going to work seeing you. I want to free the fathers up today and the mothers. You're doing the best you can. Oh, I know. The devil's saying, no, you're not, no, you're not. You didn't do this and you didn't do that. Shut up. Shutteth uppeth. You're doing the best you can, okay? Relieve yourself from the pressure. Now, I had no idea these youth were going to come up here and make a presentation to my wife and I and talk all these wonderful things about it. I had no idea. Actually, I was sort of angry when I saw them coming up here because I said, I ain't got that much time as it is. Could we do it next week? But thank God for those kids. Thank God for those teens. Come on, give God some praise. Thank God for them that they even have the capacity and didn't speak so well. Praise God. Now, I got to have you write a couple things down because this is important. Because you need to know, you need to know that you're blaming yourself sometimes and you don't have to do this. In fact, say this with me. Say, it's not my daddy's fault. Write that down. Write that down. Say, write that down. Say, it's not my daddy's fault. Now, that's the first thing you need to do. Stop blaming your parents. You reap what you sow. All right? Next thing I want you to write down, it says, I will not take the blame. Say it. Say, I will not take the blame. Stop taking the blame for everything your children do that is your fault. Some of the things are, and you need to apologize for them. I had to do that with my kids. I had to apologize to them because I didn't know. You know, and progressively as we got more and more in the word, and you know, the first one, man, I tell you, we didn't know nothing. We weren't even going into the word of faith. We was just, you know, just, we were feeling our way through the ministry. I don't mean the ministry. I mean to go to church. I mean, we wasn't living by faith. We wasn't hearing the word. We were just there. And then with the second child, we knew a little bit more and we're growing into things of God. And that one seemed like got a little bit instructions from us. The third one is like the boy knows everything, you know, because we grew up. It was us that grew. So there are times when you need to apologize, but that's not what I'm on today. I'll get on that later. You didn't do enough apology. Some of us almost apologize for our existence because we look at our children and we're like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We know you sorry. Why don't you stop being sorry? Okay. Now, what I want to deal with concerning this, let's go to the prodigal now in verse number 17. But this young man in the pig pen that spent up all the money, and I ain't going to hide away from the money on this because that was what this was all about. This family had money problems. Not that the father didn't have any, it's just that they didn't know how to handle what the father had. Achan had a money problem. He thought, if I get this vase from these folks that coat everything in gold, man, I can make some money. I can take this thing out and sell it. If you know what you did, you sold yourself. You sold your soul to the devil. If you'd have left the vase alone, putting it under your bed, causing the curse on all of Israel. See, we gotta be honest. There's a thirst for honesty in this country right now. You better understand that. People are not running around not wanting to hear about Jesus no more. There are a certain amount of people, they wanna know about your Jesus. You've just been shutting your mouth. It's time for you to open your mouth when God gives you the unction to say something. I asked you last week, how many have brought somebody to church? Can you point to somebody in the church? Y'all pointing to yourself. I'm saying, Lord, help us today. I'm like, no, you're supposed to have a group that you bring in with you. With you. Sure gets quiet when I say that. But it's because you're thinking, where are mine? Where are the people that I'm supposed to bring? He came to himself in the pig pen. This man came to himself. Now, let me say this to you. He didn't have his father come to himself. He had to come to himself. I had to come to myself after Willie Stewart kicked me out. I was mad at him, but now I'm glad he got my attention. You see, because some of the boys I was running with, one of them, cops said he swear he saw the gun. Was getting out of the car at 2 o'clock in the morning with his buddies. He was about 19 then. Tall, lanky guy with an eternal smile. His lips were, you know, he just had eternal smile. He looked like he was smiling all day long. He wasn't even smiling. Curtis. He got out that car and Kent, first one, he's the kind of guy, I'll tell him we're not doing anything. He got out, took 2 steps, turned around, saw that Kent cop, he was dead. The other guy was running well. He would have a problem with alcohol. And I got him into karate because I first started in karate. He saw me do a roundhouse kick. He said, where'd you learn that from? Because he wasn't doing that good in school. He was in DVR, in the special ed classes, because he just wasn't getting it. So he figured, if I got into the physical, I'm going to be bringing him here, by the way. If I got into the physical, I can excel. Because he was physically very athletic. He saw me doing a roundhouse kick, and he said, where'd you learn that from? Because we were best buddies. I said, I'm taking lessons from Kerry. He was my manager at McDonald's. I just got a job. He invited me to start taking karate. So he got into karate. He got to the point where his hands, he got in. So his hands are weapons. They're registered. He is now a master. Went over to Japan or whatever, Korea, whatever, and has become a master of masters. He's like the guy on, what's that little cartoon thing? The panda guy, you know, whatever. Very good. Hit you on the side of the head, you know. Anyhow, he's like him now. And he's my age. But anyhow, but he liked drinking. So he mixed alcohol with karate. And a cop came after him one day. So he put the cop in the hospital, went to jail, ended up in Deep Six in what used to be McNeil Island Prison. My other buddy, Irving, eternal smile on him also. These were the ones I was skipping school with at Born Defiance with our ripple, laughing at the animals. And you can see we were the animals. For Irving, he got tied up with crack cocaine. He told his pusher, I'm gonna get the money. I'm gonna get the money. And so the guy was chasing around in the garage up there right by Wright's Park in a house not too far, chasing around. Wasn't gonna shoot him, but just chasing around. All of a sudden, pow, the gun went off. Irving was dead. These were my buddies. Rodney just never went anywhere, still living in his parents' house years after we graduated. See, but God wants you to not live in the pig pen. He came to himself. And at different levels of life, we can be in the pig pen. All of us are in the pig pen right now about something. And we got to get ourselves out of that pig pen. We have to come to ourselves. Can't nobody make you do nothing. You have to decide to do it. How many of my father's hired servants, I'm almost done, I'm out of time. How many of my father's servants, now of all the things, you sitting there with pig slop, you smelling like pig, boop, boop. Anyhow, and what you're going to talk about is your daddy's hired service, because really, the dude just wanted more money. But he went and messed his money up, and now all he can think about, my daddy's still rolling in it. I got news for you. Your daddy is still rolling in it. There ain't no needs that you have that he can't take care of. He's not sick. He ain't broke. He's not depressed. He has no relationship problems. Now, I want to say this and I'm going to quit. Because we're going to continue this, because it's not your daddy's fault. Daddy's in the room and ain't your fault. Mama's in the room and ain't your fault. You single parent households, you've been doing all you can, working your rump off to be able to make sure them kids got something. You know, it ain't your fault. Well, yeah, I should have gave him more. No. We're going to go to David, because David committed adultery not because he ain't have nothing, or but God wouldn't give him nothing. He said, listen, I gave you this and I gave you that, and I gave you this and I gave you that, and I gave you this and I gave you that. If you needed more, I would have gave you more. That's how God works. God ain't holding back from you. I said, God is not holding back from you. I think it's so stupid for parents to tell their kids, you ain't getting dinner tonight. Why don't you not eat? Them kids need that food more than you. You look like you could lose a few. You know, they're growing. The brains are still growing. The whole body is still growing. And you're going to hold back the food. It's like saying, you're not going to church anymore, to the teen ministry, because you've been bad. That's where they need to go. What you talking about? They ain't going to teen ministry because they've been bad. If they bad, we would need to put them, strap them to a chair up there and keep them for an extra hour. Don't make no sense. In fact, make that the sentence. You be bad, you go into teen ministry every day of the week. And a new after-school program too. And we're going to tell them to preach to you. Let me finish this before we... See, because we need to find out what it means to be prodigal. Because it's not just children that become prodigal. Let me just say this last thing. If we were comparing parents, God is the biggest loser. He had two kids in the Garden of Eden. They rejected him. Went with the devil. Who likes a snake? Even if it's not crawling on his belly yet, because it didn't start crawling on his belly from its scales until it was cursed. That serpent looked like an alligator before that. But the serpent got cursed, and that's when he lost his legs and had to figure out how to get around town. That was his punishment. Two kids. That's all you got is two. They screw it up. Noah. God delivered in a big old fat boat. He had no idea how to make a boat. There wasn't even no water around him. And he making a yacht. He making a cruise ship. And then who in the world would think that animals would follow him? Come on now. Y'all don't believe the Bible. I don't know what's wrong with you. God is so creative. Come on now. Get over here, chimpanzees. I'm so sick of y'all. Y'all stop playing now. Get up in this boat. And he gets off and gets drunk. And one of his children, and it wasn't Ham, but one of his children gets cursed because he saw him naked. David got everything. Solomon, 800 girlfriends and 700 wives, whatever. I lose count. Come on, think about it. All of these people. Jeremiah got called and all he does is cry. The weeping prophet. That's all he does. Paul persecuting the church. All of these are the children of God. God is the biggest loser when it comes to parenting. But yet he knows how to take care of us. And guess who else wants to be in the parenting business? I say this and I quit. The devil. Because if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the devil is your daddy. I didn't say that. I'm just repeating what the book says. So we have to learn how to get out of this prodigal feeling, this prodigal life, and being blamed and taking the blame. Parents, stop taking the blame for stupid stuff your kids are doing. They keep stealing out of the cookie jar, it ain't your fault. You need to train them. Train? That sounds like a dog. Well, whatever. You need to train up a child in the way they're supposed to go. We'll find out what that means next time. Did you get something out of this? Come on, give God some praise in Jesus' name. Let's make a confession. Stand up, everybody. Let's make a confession. I want you to say this with me. Come on now. You may have to say it in faith. But say, God, it's not my fault. Say, God, help me to do my best as a child, as a parent, as a relative of those around me. God, forgive me for giving too much or giving too little with the concerns of those around me. God, thank you for rescuing me from what I thought. I thought all this time it was my fault. God, thank you for helping me to live this life according to your word and being an obedient child, say it. God, help me to see what it is that you call me to do so that I can follow those things. Final thing. Say, God, train me up in the way I should go. Say it again. Say, train me up in the way I should go so that I can mature and come to myself in that. And I'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give a shout and a praise to the Lord? Come on. Let's give God some praise. That's all we can get time for today. Come on, let's praise him and let's thank him in Jesus' name. Sharing vision again today.